What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, April 19th, 2018. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. A lot is going on around the world here. And the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments and questions, observations, and anything else you want to talk about here. All right, well, today, obviously, being April 19th, it's Patriots Day, and it is the anniversary of the battles of Lexington and Concord, which kicked off the American Revolution, and basically tensions were building between the 13 original American colonies and the British authorities, particularly in Massachusetts. So, on the night of April 18th, British troops marched from Boston to nearby Concord in order to confiscate the military arms of the colonists. Paul Revere and these other riders sounded the alarm. The colonial militiamen mobilized, and the British did not come out of it very well. The war was underway, and in 1783, the colonies formally won their independence, and that is the original Patriots Day. Now, notice that what we're talking about here are military weapons. The British soldiers weren't interested in hunting weapons that put food on the table. They were interested in the weapons that could be used to resist British oppression, and it really didn't work out. And it was because of that attempt by the British to disarm the colonies that the Founding Fathers wrote that Second Amendment into the Bill of Rights. And it's been interpreted by the Supreme Court on numerous occasions, saying that it guarantees to the American people the same arms held by the uniformed services as a last resort to resist tyranny in government. Because the Founding Fathers understood that the curse of political power is that it will attract those people who should not be allowed to have it, as we are now witnessing in this day and age today. A couple of misconceptions about the battles of Lexington and Concord. Everybody knows about Paul Revere. His house is preserved along the Freedom Walk in Boston. Paul Revere didn't actually complete the ride. He stopped to have a meal, and the British caught him. And one of the other riders, William Dawes, actually completed the ride and completed the mission of sounding the warning. And Longfellow just dealt fame to the wrong guy. Maybe you couldn't find something that rhymed with Dawes. And also, nobody said, the British are coming, the British are coming, because the colonials all thought of themselves as British. It was the regulars are coming. The regulars are coming, the redcoats, as it were. And that's the original Patriots Day, and there have been subsequent events that have happened on the same date. In particular, the final conflagration at that Branch Davidian Church down in Waco, Texas. Now, there's been a huge amount of propaganda put out about, ooh, how evil David Koresh was, and they were all a bunch of gun nuts, and they were dangerous, and I remember they even made a TV movie about it that implied Koresh was molesting the female members of his church, and it, as usual, it's Hollywood serving the propaganda interests of the government. The real story about what happened there has to do with the fact that the BATF was in a lot of trouble. They had only a few years before been chartered with the law enforcement powers. Prior to that, they were purely paper pushers. They collected the fees on alcohol and tobacco and gun registration, but they were not enforcers of the law. That had to be turned over to whatever law enforcement had jurisdiction in the area. But all of a sudden, the BATF got to be their own police force, and they got their own guns, and they got their own jackets. And there had been several serious, embarrassing incidents of the BATF raiding the wrong homes and shooting perfectly innocent homeowners who thought they were being home invaded and robbed, and they grabbed a gun to defend themselves, and the BATF shot them dead. And there have been calls for congressional hearings about rescinding the BATF's authorities in that area. So the BATF needed a publicity stunt of some kind, and they decided they were going to pick on the Branch Davidian Church because it was known they did have a lot of guns. Now, obviously, they were trained and knew how to use them. More importantly, though, they knew how to repair them. And that was how the Branch Davidian compound was supporting itself. Now, prior to David Koresh, his predecessor actually ran a meth lab in the church compound. And when David Koresh took over, the first thing he did was he called the police and said, there's a meth lab on the property. I want you to remove it. The police came on over, and they took it away. And the church supported itself by buying old, used, broken firearms, refurbishing them, and then selling them at the Texas gun shows. Perfectly legitimate business opportunity. It's Texas. Everybody loves their guns. That's how they funded themselves. And Koresh was on good terms with local law enforcement. In fact, a week before the raid, Koresh had gone shooting with the local sheriffs. He would bring the ammo. They'd bring their guns. They'd try out each other's weapons. It was all, you know, friendly, neighborly fun. So the BATF figured, we're going to go on in there. We're going to scream that they had illegal weapons. We're going to raid them. We're going to seize all the guns. It's going to look really good on the newspapers. So they got a whole bunch of BATF agents together, and they called the local newspapers to come join them. And that's where things began to go wrong, because the reporter, one of the reporters assigned to cover the BATF, was friends with David Koresh. Waco's kind of a small town. Everybody knows everybody. And he called up Koresh and said, are you aware the BATF are coming to inspect your guns and seize any illegal guns? And Koresh said, no, but there's no problem. There's nothing here for them to find. So the BATF shows up. Koresh opens the door of the church and is promptly shot in the crotch. And it all went downhill from there. Now, one of the articles I've put up documents how all the gunfire that was taking place at the Branch Davidian compound was coming from the BATF. And the reason for that is very simple. All of the working guns owned by the Branch Davidians were out at a gun show that day. All that was left were guns that were still broken in the process of being repaired, refurbished, or stripped for parts. And the Branch Davidians just figured they were just going to wait it on out. And ultimately, this became a huge embarrassment for the U.S. government. And that's when they sent in the FBI to basically knock holes in the wall with bulldozers and flood the place with CS tear gas, which is a tear gas. It's a chemical weapon that's illegal to use on enemy troops in time of war. That's how nasty the stuff is. And as a propellant to propel the CS, they used this chemical. I think it was called methyl acrylate. I'm not sure if that's accurate or not. But it's the same chemical that's used to melt those plexiglass shields you see over salad bars. It softens the plexiglass temporarily, and you can only imagine what it does to lungs. And, of course, the official story is mass suicide. You know, they burned themselves up. We know they did it. And that, too, is a lie, because most of the bodies were never autopsied. In fact, they were allowed to basically decay away to the point of uselessness. But there were some autopsies conducted. None of the lungs showed any sign of smoke inhalation, meaning they were all dead of the CS gas before the fire started. Now, compare that with what the U.S. claims Assad is doing in Syria. And do other countries have the right to bomb the U.S. because of what happened down in Waco? All right, we're going to do a shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. We're sort of commemorating Patriots Day, April 19th, Battles of Lexington, Concord, Waco. We're going to be talking about the Oklahoma City bombing for a little bit. But first, we're going to take a phone call from Kevin in West Virginia. Aloha, Kevin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mr. Mike. I hope you're having a great and wonderful day. One of my questions that I have in this grand puzzle of Syria, if one of the puzzle pieces could be, there's a recording of Jared Kushner promising the head of Assad to the Saudi prince.
I'm sorry, repeat that last part again.
There's a recording of Jared Kushner during the inauguration, when Trump first went over to Syria over to Saudi Arabia He was inaugurated with Jared Kushner. And there is a recording of Jared Kushner promising the head of Bashar al-Assad to the Saudi prince. Could this be one of the driving forces why we went ahead and bombed them without any evidence? You know, I'm wondering if that's one of the driving factors.
I think it's more a case of bravado than anything else. Everybody loves to talk tough. We're hearing it from everybody in the U.S. government. We're the best. They're thumping their chests, and I think that's what Jared Kushner was doing. I don't think the U.S. is going to invade a country just to get the head of state. The sole exception to that, of course, being Panama, and Bush needed to get Manuel Noriega punching out license plates in Florida because Noriega had tried to blackmail the Bush family over their use of Panama as a waypoint for that whole Iran-Contra gun and drug-running operation.
Absolutely. And then the other thing that I was wondering as well, if I was an enemy of Syria, speaking of Saudi Arabia or Israel, and you have the United States coming out and saying, we're locked and loaded, I would assume and I would expect another false flag within the next couple weeks.
I agree. I think it's going to be sooner than that because the last false flag has just blown up in their face and they need a distraction. You know, already the corporate media is out there saying, oh, well, you know, Russia and Syria, they've cleaned up Duma, and that's why the inspectors are not going to find anything. I mean, they're just lying left and right, trying to recover from this epic fail. And my guess is that if they don't see that they're getting traction with the American people, there will be another false flag, and it'll be big and nasty and bloody, so that everybody moves on and forgets about the last lie.
Sure, I totally get it. And I don't think this has anything to do with making North Korea, you know, and China come to the table. That agreement was already struck, a few months ago, to denuclearize and to a 10-year agreement with the North Korea and South Korea for unification. I don't think that has anything to do with it either, but I am concerned that there is going to be another false flag, and I am concerned that if we do what we did, shooting missiles off into Syria, that Russia won't have restraint this next time. I am a little worried about that.
Yeah, I think you should be worried about it. Of course, Nikki Haley's been up at the UN saying that she's expecting Assad to launch a chemical weapon here in the United States of America. And obviously, chemical attacks in Syria lack a sense of immediacy and threat to the American people. And so I'm expecting there will be something here in the U.S., a chemical 9/11, if you will, where everybody's going to say, oh, my goodness, it could have been me, or I have family and friends there, and get everybody so worked up, they lose their capacity to think rationally.
Sure, absolutely. And there was other big breaking news today. McCabe, I don't know if it was an indictment or something with McCabe saying that he will sing if he goes down. He's bringing everybody down with him. My question is, Jeff Sessions, where are you?
Well, apparently, I.G. Horowitz did the referral himself and sent it to the Department of Justice. Now, obviously, Sessions can overrule it, but if Sessions squashes it and fails to act on the referral sent over by Congress, at that point, I think it's time for Trump to fire him and get somebody in there who's going to do the job. And I understand everybody's telling Trump, don't go there, don't go to the Clinton Foundation, don't go to the email server, you'll bring down the entire government. But at this point, it's like we had the caller called in yesterday, let the truth be told, though the heavens may fall.
Absolutely. Will you give Ms. Claire the best? And I hope you have a great and wonderful day, sir.
Well, thank you very much. And we're going to switch over to Pete in Florida. Aloha, Pete. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. This kind of branches onto the Branch Davidian issue and the Second Amendment issue. I saw in Drudge today the report about some New York upstate farmer who got raided by ICE. They didn't have any kind of a warrant, and they were, roughhousing and whatnot. This right here is sort of the tyranny that's already undermining the Second Amendment, that the fact that if you read that, if you read it simply, if we were all strapped and wearing weapons every day, these police employees wouldn't be this brazen and disrespectful and unprofessional. And I think that Marbury versus Madison itself was probably the greatest act of tyranny when the judge employees decided to make themselves the interpreters of the Constitution instead of reading it as it should have been.
I disagree with you on that one. Basically, Marbury versus Madison made the American people the interpreters of the Constitution, and basically said, you don't need to wait for the Supreme Court to rule on the constitutionality of a law. If the law is repugnant to the Constitution, it is automatically null and void.
Well, there's another part. There's that second part that people overlook, and that's what I'm getting at. And the rest of it reads, and the Supreme Court has established itself or is responsible for interpreting the Constitution. That's why the Supreme Court comes out and pretty much decides everything on a whim instead of throwing it up against the Constitution. I just think that there's way too much corruption going on here, Mike. And I'm no question about.
And you raise a valid point, because nowhere in the Constitution is the duty of interpretation assigned to any part of the government. It was supposed to be left up to the American people. We know what the Constitution says. I've got a copy right here. I read it all the time. And that was what that first part of Marbury versus Madison said. If the people realize a law is unconstitutional, they are not bound by it.
Right, and I mean, Article 6, Section 2, Subclause 2, or whatever it is, that's part of the Supremacy Clause. It specifically reminds judge employees what their role is, and that is to uphold the Constitution, not to interpret that. And that's my thought for the day. My best to Claire. Have a nice day, sir.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. And let's get on back to our commemoration of Patriots Day here by talking about something else that happened on April 19th. And that, of course, was the Oklahoma City bombing, which was basically Timothy McVeigh was the patsy. And I think Michael Herzog on his program last week said that there are now four of the witnesses to McVeigh's execution who have now come forward saying that he was still breathing after it was supposedly all over. So they probably, had him grow a beard and a mustache and a little plastic surgery, and he's out somewhere in the Midwest managing a Wendy's or something in the witness protection program. But the bombing never really made a lot of sense. That building was built to withstand all kinds of damage. General Benton Parton, who was running military development for the U.S. Army, came out with a report saying that truck bomb could not have done that damage. And every time there was another report about that Ryder truck, they kept enlarging the amount of AMFO that was in it, way past the point the truck could actually carry it here. On the day that the Murrah explosion happened, there were reports all over the media of additional bombs being found inside the Murrah building itself. Now, there was one survivor who had recently moved to Oklahoma City from California and understood about earthquakes. And he reported that the only reason he survived is he felt the building shake, thought it was a quake, crawled under his desk, and then the big truck bomb went off. And because he was under his desk, he didn't get killed. Well, that first shake he felt seems to be cutter charges. And by the way, that impulse is recorded on two different recordings we have on my page on the Oklahoma City bombing. But by far, the most damaging information happened quite by accident, if you will. There was a private pilot flying a plane, was just flying over the Camp Gruber at Fort Bragg's, and looked down and saw this strange enclosure. There was a big screen around an area, and then there were these four tents and four trucks, one of them a Ryder truck. They were also screened from the outside from being seen. They didn't screen from above. Apparently, they didn't think they needed to. And this guy took the pictures. So what was the Army doing with that second Ryder truck is an important question. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And we're talking about the Oklahoma City bombing, which happened on this day, Patriots Day, and all the very odd things there were about it, including John Doe number two, because Timothy McVeigh was reportedly seen in the company of a second gentleman who just sort of disappeared from the official story, and he went away. Then there was Elohim City, where supposedly Timothy McVeigh was hanging out to plan all of this, and it was run by its founder, Robert Miller, who was later outed as an FBI informant. Now, one of the reporters who was there on the ground was Connie Chung, who is somebody I know from my days in Los Angeles when she used to work at KNXT. And I was in and out of the place all the time. I used to make pornographic balloon animals for her. She'd hide them under the desk during the newscast. She's a lovely lady. And she was there, and she had heard a report that the fire department engines were deployed on neighboring streets around the Murrah building before the explosion happened. And she asked the fire chief that question on air and was immediately fired. This was a lady with a long experience, name, value, and credibility, and she was just let go like that. And finally, something, again, from a personal source, the minister who married Claire and I all those years ago, happened to be near Oklahoma City when the explosion happened. So he did what a lot of people did. He drove on over and said, I volunteer to help search for survivors in the ruins of the building. And he had to show his ID something like six times before he was finally allowed through all the barricades and everything that had been put up. He pointed out there was something very odd because there were all these men in suits and ties who weren't looking for survivors. They were just gathering up all the papers they could, shoving them in boxes and taking them away. And then he saw these other men who were busy taping black plastic over the shattered ends of the load-bearing members of the building. Now, the plastic was far too thin to provide any mechanical support, and it looked to him like they just didn't want people looking at where those load-bearing members had failed. And I finally found a picture that that confirmed his story. So why was the building targeted? Well, this goes all the way back to Waco, because the public outcry over what the government had done to the Branch Davidians was so great. Congress had called for formal hearings, and they had demanded all the evidence that the BATF and the FBI had on the Waco case be sent to Washington, D.C. And the FBI and the BATF had collected all that evidence together and stored it in the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. So all the evidence was destroyed when the building blew up, and the hearings had to be called off. Now, also in that building were medical records from military veterans who were suffering from what later came to be called Gulf War Syndrome, and they were told it was all on their head. And these were documents showing that these soldiers had been exposed to depleted uranium and to U.S. chemical weapons in what were called the burn pits. And that there was a legitimate case for these people to be taken care of by the VA. All of that evidence also went up, conveniently was in the Murrah Federal Building when it all happened. Okay, let's take some phone calls. We're going to start with Jerry in Chicago. Aloha, Jerry. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. Can you hear me?
Hello? Just barely.
Give me one sec. Hello, how about now?
You're much better, thank you.
Okay. I was calling in about the Murrah's building. I was glued to the television that day, and I remember the governor of the state coming on in an interview saying that we have a bomb squad in the building right now that are trying to defuse at least two bombs. Okay, now how does that mean a lone truck bomb by Timothy McVeigh if they're defusing two more bombs?
Well, it doesn't, obviously, and I mean, even CNN was reporting that there were other bombs. The tape of the police radio was saying, "We've got to get people out of there. There are more bombs." And then the official story was later on declared, "No, there was only the one bomb. There was only the one truck. It was all Timothy McVeigh." And, anybody who says anything else is just a tinfoil hat wearing crazy kook conspiracy theorist. But
well, liars, cheats, and thieves, and it's 25 years. That's a quarter of a century so far, because that was 93 that this all happened.
Yes.
Okay. Well, hey, with that, man, thanks a lot. Keep up the good work. I sent you a donation. I hope you got it.
I probably did, and you should have gotten, if it comes by post, you're going to get a letter. If it came electronically, you're going to get an email. Anyway, we're going to take another break here for commercials. We have more callers waiting on the line, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go right back to the telephones to Errol in the Netherlands. Aloha, Errol. Welcome back to the show. What's on your mind today?
Oh, I hear a big airplane coming over. Maybe you'll hear it.
Okay. Well, we have a lot of aircraft over us right now. Everybody's taking advantage of the war fever to get their training flights in, and so they're turning and burning over our house all day long.
Yeah, but it's okay. But what I wanted to say to you about the Oklahoma bombing, you know, it was a patsy. He was a patsy. But we don't have a patsy for Building 7 that happened on 9/11. So that is a very interesting point to make, because Mr. Larry Silverstein, ne? Stein, in America you call it Stein, and in Germany you call it Silverstein. Ne? So,
there is a patsy for 9/11.
Wait. I want to make a point.
Okay.
Mr. Silverstein, yeah?
Yes.
Before 9/11... happened, he made a deal with the banks to get a security on his buildings. Total security on his buildings. And the buildings...
Yes, he insured the buildings against acts of terror.
Exactly. And do not ever forget, when I have pictures, and you can see them on the internet. You can research it, everything. It was pulverized. So when you got beton, how do you call it? Concrete. When you got concrete, it's pulverized. When you see the dust everywhere in that square mile, how long the dust was going, and I studied that, it was pulverized. And pulverizing means explosions. Exactly the same thing with the Oklahoma bombing, yeah, but in another way. It was from the inside outside, but a little bit, you know. There were not so many analytic people with cameras in that
yes.
day of time, you know, in the years. That, what was it? 91. Now we are talking about 2001. You know, September 11, 2001. You see the pulverization. All the helicopters were flying above that, and they took pictures. And I got that picture. I got a lot of pictures. And when you see that smoke, it's not smoke from fire. It's pulverized. When you see pulverized stuff,
yes,
analyze it. So,
well, that's what... That's what General Parton was pointing out in his Eglin blast effect study, is that for that kind of damage to be done to the building and that kind of pulverization of the concrete takes high bris of explosives, and ANFO does not qualify as that.
And that is my point. Just what I want to say is, now, they had that time, Timothy McVeigh, okay, that was the Oklahoma City bomb. But that was a test. Because who were in those buildings? Who were in those buildings? And who was on 9/11 in Building 7? Exactly the same people.
Well, Building 7 was evacuated successfully before it was brought down.
But who worked in that? Who worked in that?
Well, it was a government
CIA,
building. The same
the
as
FBI, the NSA,
yep.
All papers were in there. So it was also destroyed. Exactly
yes.
the same. Exactly the same. Thank you, Mike. Bye.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Mark in North Carolina. Aloha, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How you doing here, Mike? Mike,
doing okay.
A couple of things about this, about Oklahoma City. I wish you would try to get on your show, former police officer, Oklahoma City police officer, canine officer, one of the first officers on the scene, Donald Browning. He actually saw the explosives inside the building. He was threatened by the FBI. He was threatened by the FBI later on. Like him and his family. He's been on the show, but years ago, some years back. I haven't heard much about him since. The other person you should have on, I wish you would have on, was that film, A Noble Lie. You might know something about that film. He was in that. Another person I wish you'd have on is Cody Hodges. I think I tell you. This guy is a former operations. He was like a contractor for the CIA, and he committed certain acts around the world. But he was offered the job. I think he was offered like $1 million to blow up the Mora building about a year before it was blown up, and he refused. He said that pushed the line, and since then he was like an outcast. And now he's coming out and saying, I think he's written a book. He's been in quite a few internet shows. Alex Jones, for some reason, hasn't had him on. John B. Wells, yes, he was on John B. Wells. He's on the Hagman. He was on the Hagman Report a couple of times. Since then, they've tried to kill him. He was a car accident in Colorado where he lives. This guy is really, I wish you'd say, I know he'd come on if you contacted him. And the other thing about it is this. I don't know if you ever heard of Sergeant Terrence Yakey.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay, he was murdered by the FBI, most likely the FBI, and tortured. And then they try to say he committed suicide. There's no way he committed suicide the way it was described, right on federal land. And he said feds were chasing him at the time. He called in that the feds were chasing him at the time. And this man's a hero, and I wish people would know more about him, and I pray for his soul. Because this man, like I said, was the truth. When we talk about a hero, that's a true hero. Okay, because he knew he was being threatened and all that. He had the information also that there were explosives inside the building. He came up with it. So obviously you can't have him as a guest, but you could have Sergeant Browning on, or Officer Browning. I'm not sure if it was your sergeant or not. He's retired now, you know. I wish he made an attempt to do that, because this is another false flag. This is another thing where the FBI, the CIA is probably involved too. For whatever reasons, one, to make conservative, I guess, to make right-wingers look bad. The other thing is, I understand there were certain records they were keeping inside of the building. That was Hodges said. There were certain records that they didn't want coming out about depleted uranium.
We mentioned that.
You did mention? Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Hodges mentioned, was talking about that. It was the main reason they wanted to blow that building up.
The main reason they wanted to blow that building up is they put all the evidence about Waco in there in advance of congressional hearings.
That too. And, like I said, what's his name was, he was just a patsy. McVeigh was just a patsy. Why McVeigh didn't talk or say anything and just went to his death the way he did, I don't know. Some people don't believe he was even executed, that he walked out the back door, and he might have been an operator himself. Whether that's true or not,
a lot of people thought that studying his early career of going around the country and trying to infiltrate these various patriot groups. The primary theory is he was an FBI informant, and he was selected to be this star of the Oklahoma City bombing. And as I mentioned earlier in the program last week, Michael Herzog on his show said that there are now four of the witnesses to the execution who have come forward saying that McVeigh was still breathing after it was supposedly all over.
Yeah, I suspect that's a good possibility. I don't think he was just an informant. I think he was actually an operative. I think he was still probably with the military and was actually an operative. He wanted it. Supposedly, the story is he wanted to get in special forces. He couldn't make it. I don't know if that's really true either. That could be also a cover story. But I suspect I'd have still been working for the military in certain capacity. Military's not supposed to be doing this, but everybody knows they do it. They have certain people that do stuff like this, working together with
the
CIA.
All the agencies do here. All the agencies do, and this appears to have been primarily an FBI BATF operation, because there were the ones whose rear ends were in a sling, along with the Pentagon for the medical information on the veterans. Anyway, Mark, we're going to let you go. I want to finish up here and then get into the current news, okay? All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. Now, finishing up on the Oklahoma City bombing. Name that you probably have not heard of before is a guy named Harry Everett, Everhart, rather. And he witnessed the blast from nearby, and he basically made the first official report of the explosion by calling the BATF office in Dallas to say, someone has just blown up the federal building in Oklahoma City with a truckload of ANFO. One wonders how he knew what the explosive used was. Well, it turns out Everhart was the BATF's expert on ANFO explosives, and records are indicating that Everhart and his associates spent the year before the Oklahoma City bombing out in New Mexico loading and then blowing up at least 8 trucks in test bombing experiments. So they wanted this thing well rehearsed. Anyway, that's Oklahoma City bombing. And I do like to mention these things on April 19th, but the rest of the show is going to be in the here and now, because it was back in 1995. And here we are in 2018. So it's 23 years ago that this happened. All right, getting on over to Syria, we're seeing the entire American political establishment pretty much agreeing, yes, we're going to have a war against Assad. War, it's fantastic. We're going to go. No, actually, your kids are going to go. We're going to stay here in the Capitol building and applaud ourselves for how tough and butch we really are. And already they're pouring out the propaganda that the American people support the invasion of Syria. This one comes out of Washington's blog. And they're already out there showing awareness that people don't always trust the external polls here. So the way they pose this is the first even marginally trustworthy poll of American registered voters. And then it goes on to say that the majority, an overwhelming 66% support the invasion. And if you believe that one, I have some of Saddam's nuclear weapons to sell you. Now, obviously around Hawaii, we talk a lot of military here. I have yet to meet anybody who supports the attack and invasion in Syria. Not even one. So to find out what's really going on, talk to your friends and neighbors, and you'll get a more accurate picture of what's going on. We, of course, did a poll at whatreallyhappened.com, and do you support the invasion of Syria? No, won with 99% of the vote. There were five people who voted yes, and I assume that they're monitoring the site for various government agencies. Let's go back to the phones. Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I didn't vote either, though, so I count. I'll vote. I don't believe it. Hey, Mike, I'm getting some news alert from Russia. Russian Navy has expanded its strategic capabilities, and it's one new subs commission. You have three ships and auxiliary ships. You got 46 more caliber missiles added, two helicopters, and I think there's a reconditioned submarine called Tula. Underwater missile cruiser, it's called.
Okay.
So that's some updated news on that. Hey, Mike, did you hear a report just coming out? I think it was came out of Lancaster, Pennsylvania yesterday about a tractor-trailer truck missing from a work site that has 640 pounds of explosives on it and 400
plastic. I missed that one, but that may be the... That may be the prelude to the false flag attack that's supposed to get us all riled up to want to go and throw our children onto the bayonets on the other side of the world.
That's kind of a lot of explosives, and 640 pounds of explosives. I mean, can you imagine if they set that off in, like, Holland Tunnel or something, say, if they can get over, you know, that's... Pennsylvania is not that far, you know.
That's a lot of explosive. Of course, it depends on what kind of explosive it is, you know, as to what the effects would be.
And then I got to ask you about that police getting ready in riot gear in, was it Pittsburgh?
I think. We're going to be talking about that later in the show.
Can I just say something real quick? Like, nobody even knows who Bob Mueller is, most of the people. They don't give a crap. So I can't just see. Yeah, so it just smells of orchestration, like right off. If you ask the average American, they don't even got to know what a Mueller is. I mean, come on. You know, who's buying this? You know, this is ridiculous.
Well, apparently Rosenstein has just told Donald Trump that he is not a target of any part of the Mueller probe. Well, if that's true, it's time to shut down Mueller because his entire mandate as special counsel was the Trump-Russia collusion. And, of course, there is no crime of collusion under U.S. law. So it was a made-up issue to begin with. And instead, you know, Mueller is out there, just thrashing around trying to regain his credibility by just, you know, beating up on anybody he can find.
Oh, and then real quick, going back to Syria, I forgot that they Syrian army started their kicking out of the talks failed against the Daesh or whatever, so they're going in there and cleaning out house. Since they want to get on the buses, they're going to go to the graves, you know.
Well, Iraq has launched an anti-Daesh operation in coordination with the government of Syria. So I think basically they're just going to wipe them out, the ones that refuse to surrender, And that will be the end of it. The U.S. will not have a legitimate reason to be in Syria. So they're going to have to gin something up. And so I agree with that earlier caller. There's going to be another false flag that's going to be blamed on Assad. And it's going to be big, and it's going to be nasty, and it's going to be so scary that the American people will be too terrified to think clearly.
Well, that's going to pull Russia in, and it'll be World War III. Hey, Mike, you know, I'd probably take at this point the Saudi Arabians, they're running out of forces to send over at this point. They lost a lot of people.
Well, that's why they're down there in Africa recruiting mercenaries.
Yeah, like in Yemen. If anybody goes on YouTube, look up Yemen, Sudanese in Yemen for Saudi Arabia, and poor souls, man. They have money all over the place, Saudi money, and they can't spend it because they're dead in the desert. That's it.
Anyway, Dustin, I got to let you go. Got a commercial break. We'll be right back with more phone calls.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go back to the phones here. Roxanne in Texas, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to follow up on yesterday, the last call about the airplane.
Yeah.
Do you know the Mythbusters
series?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, they did one called Explosive Decompression. It's about 5 minutes, and it sort of pulls the theory of pulling the passenger out the window. They debunked that, so I'd encourage all the audience to listen or watch that video. It's pretty cool. And because we know every 3 years the FAA, they tell all the airports, the big ones, to do the drill. So they've been going on a lot. I know one was in Abilene the other day.
Okay, and, well, let's back up here a little bit. First of all, as big a fan as I am of Mythbusters, I've never seen the show that you're describing. And while the sudden decompression of an airline cabin is not as violent as it's often depicted in movies and TV, it does happen. And if you're sitting in the seat next to the window that blows out, which in this case was destroyed by a fragment of the exploding engine, yes, there's going to be a tremendous vacuum that will try and suck you out. And it's not just the interior pressure of the airline cabin. It's also the Bernoulli effect of the airstream going past the outside of the aircraft. And that's going to create a huge suction as well. So,
I'll just encourage everybody to watch it because it explained exactly this. But,
could you
arm might get sucked out.
Okay, Roxanne, can you send me the URL to the video? I'd like to look at it myself before we recommend that anybody else take a look at it, okay?
Okay, it's just Explosive Decompression on YouTube, Mythbusters. It's that simple. Explosive Decompression.
All right, I'll take a look for it. I'll take a look for it after the show today.
But I also wanted to comment on, I know that Tony guy, and he used to make movies in Hollywood, and he was a producer, and he was short of having his own studio, and Spielberg went in and destroyed him. And that's it.
Okay, well, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go, and we're going to take one more phone call. Then we're going to close the phone lines because I've got a lot of stuff I need to get to today. Mike in Fort Lauderdale, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Salutations, sir. I just thought I would share another statistically impossible abnormality. But, it's the anniversary today, the 70th anniversary, today's date right now, of Israel.
Oh. Good for them.
Yeah, it's their birthday. Just coincides with Oklahoma City. It's just very strange, statistically very strange, but just so happens it's their birthday as well.
Okay, well, thank you for the information. We're going to let you go. And I am, in fact, looking at that Mythbusters video. And they're basically saying that a person wouldn't be sucked out of the plane completely, which is what happened in this case. This woman, only the top part of her body got sucked out of the plane, and she died from blunt force trauma to her arms and torso and head. So anyway, there's the music. We're going to take a break for station identification. We'll be right back.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.